Hello.
Hello, Shomra Lopiansky.
Okay, so we're holding here in a Siva Muna, and
sorry, I just got a request from Matis Yael to ask if you're recording.
Yes, I am recording it. Two recorders. One of them actually was not working for a while. I don't know what happened to the something on the computer, but now it does seem to be working, and I have another one, so poor Matisio will be able to sleep in
Okay.
Now the so here in middle of the Perek Aleph, the third paragraph, about Emuna. Umailus Amida Zois Omer Mesechtis Tainis. Omer of Ami, it says Ein Shom Yordim Elvashul Bali Emuna. So even though it doesn't say the word emunah, it says the word emes, but emes and tzedek are the ones that create the eretz titzmach and meshamayim nishka. The Amar Rabami. Rabami says, take a look at how strong faith goes. Minayim echuldor bar. So just to skip it a bit so that we get the sense of the story first, he will bring from the Aruch as the marker the story, a whole long story, most people quite know it, about a boy and a girl. He promised he'd marry her, and they made a witness out of a chuld and a bar. He didn't follow through, and two tragedies happened to him. Hold on a bar, and then he remembered what happened. So we'll see that later, but I just to get the sense of it. So he says that the hold on bar pirsh kibale emuna eina mishanim. So the first thing he says is bale emuna, the connection between emuna and the geshamim is that bale emuna not mishanim. Like we spoke the first time, it means the person is set on something. That the shemayim, which has the rain, will be faithful. They will keep giving water because that's what they were created for. So there's a certain faithfulness to their matara, like it says, you know, Shaloshana stuff kidom by Kiddush Levana. We say, "Vim ein ma'imin be'echod harigam kein oisei she'etz adover shloi mishanaloi." If a person is lacking in emuna, he in trust, he doesn't stick to the agreement or whatever he's supposed to do. Gam kein k'mar shemayim she'etz ma'amata. So the zilum aseh is if a person is not mishane in his relationships, shemayim are not mishane, and if he is mishane, it reflects itself in geshem.
Just a quick question. It got to do with the fact that we'll get to it later. Is it that the fact the emunah is with the mashpia, or it's not?
Yes. It will. I mean, that's the point actually that it draws out from the story. That's why I wanted to. We'll see in two or three lines before we get to the ma'isa that the place that it most reflects itself is in the mashpia and the makabel. We'll talk about it soon. Why doesn't it say Bale Emes? Right? Maybe Kro Emes Meretz Titzmach. The pasuk that's brought is Emes Meretz Titzmach. It says Kimatnian Emes Adavazer. In other words, Emes in its different senses is not really what's apropos here. What's apropos here is Emuna, and that's why he talks about Emuna. Al Emuna Shayach Lazer Kashemayim Reis Nimata V'Arts Mekabel Asamata. The Shemayim gives Mata, and the Arts is Mekabel the Mata. Behem is Chabrim, and them is chabah through that. V'yesh dem emunah zem zeh, and there's this faith and trust between the two. L'kach, kashav ne'odem bale emunah zem zeh, gam ha'shamayim hem be'emunah v'noisni mata, Shekachu emunas hashmayim v'saretz. Ve'ein emunak emunas hashmayim v'aretz. Shemayim v'aretz are the prototype of emuna. Shem k'moy zocha v'nekeva. Shazocha mashpia v'nekeva mekabelas. Ve'kach hashmayim mashpia v'aretz mekabelas. So in the tzura of mashpia and mekabel, you have the tzura of nemanis, and that's where shemayim v'aretz are the archetypes, and zochen ekeva are human reflection of that. Because aisha mizane neima baze kisiste ishtoi omalei mal, v'lekach meviachrav kamadola muna shel ish v'isha. Okay. So let's talk a little about this. This is the point that he's going to say here. We explained last time, emuna is a certain measure of the when there are two elements that could or could not separate from each other. The sticking together, the stronger, the longer, the more firm you stick together, the more you have in the quality of nemanis, so sort of loyalty. Now, it's a subdivision of emes, because in emes, emes means it's a true metzias. So if I present you a chair as miksha achas, a chair that consists of a few pieces put together is lacking something in the emes of its metzias, because it's pieces that existed independently and happened to come together for the purpose of making the chair. It can be tested by the fact that if you put stress or strain on it, some of the pieces begin to fall apart. And the end result is, so if they don't, if they stick together, we say, yes, this is now a chair. It really is a chair, because the pieces no longer exist as separate entities. They exist as one unit. So emuna is it's sort of a subdivision, so to speak, of emes, and that's where emuna is. Now he says in the Bria, if we're to look for the item that is most shaykh to this, it would be a zocha nekeva. Zocha nekeva are a Bria that la'amitosoi should be one. Zoch and Akeva bara oisom. Shemayim and Oretz, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, Shammai and Hillel, but Shemayim nevetchila, Oretz nevetchila. And Rav Shimon Yochai says, Tamani alava soilom, how they had such a machlokes. It was created as one, like a pot and its cover. Just like a suit is the trousers and the jacket, together, it's not that, you know, you had a pair of trousers and you said, you know, I'll get myself a matching jacket. That's not a suit. That's a jacket. A suit is that they're one. So the Shemayim and Oretz are meant to be one unit. They have the ability to be separate. They have they can present themselves as separate, and that's where Ne'emanus comes in as the quality that defines their becoming one, that defines their mitzvahs. So you have Shemayim and Eretz as Mashpia and Mekabel. The Hashpah and the Mekabel is through Geshem. That's sort of the medium that makes that Chibur, obviously on the lowest level. It is extremely similar to Zoch and Akeva, where there's also a hashpah, where something goes from the Zoch to the Akeva. It's called the Chazal described the main reins of Israel for Lashon Beila. It's kind of it's filling up the ground. It's the Baal to the Isha is reflected in the Shemayim to the Eretz, and the Mela, it's the same nature. It's that same Shaykhus of Zochan and Kevah. I want to explain here a nuance in the difference between Zohar and Nekeva. The commitment of the Zohar to the Nekeva is different than the commitment of the Nekeva to the Zohar. The commitment of the Zohar to the Nekeva is that he will always be a Mashpia. That means, Lamashal, the halacha is, if you marry many women, it's contingent on being able to give each one what they need. You can't tell your wife, I'm going to be cutting back on the suppers I'm giving you because there's somebody else coming on board who I'd like to feed also. He has to give it the mezonos and everything else that's required to give. That's his nemanis had to be constantly mashpia. The nemanis of a mekabel is a very different type of nemanis. The nemanis of a mekabel is that this is the makom kibul, that she's a makom kibul for him and for no one else. The aretz doesn't go astray from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The bond from us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not that we're the only nation or the only world or whatever. It's that he gives us what we need. Our bond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the makabul is that we're kul or kli kibul for him. In other words, we provide them a makom for his fulfillment. I want to go a little bit into an akuda here, which I guess is sort of in Yonad Yomidik. You have the in Kapitel Yotes in Tehillim, where David HaMelech is Meshabeach Teira and so on. He has first Hashem Tmimo Meshibas Nefesh. The second one is Eidos Hashem Ne'emono Machkimas Pesi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's testimony is faithful. Machkimas Pesi, it allows even the fool to become wise. Now, first of all, when Eidos Hashem is Tmima, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is total, complete. So we understand the shvach of that, because there are many philosophies and ideologies that have some merit, that contain much wisdom, but to say that something is the totality of emes and wisdom and so on and so forth, that's a tall statement, and we understand that that's nagea only Torah. That's fine, but it is Hashem ne'emana, that's reliable. We assume the Rachal of Bishnaim Edim Yochum David that most testimonies are reliable. The tell us HaKadosh Baruch Hu that what you read in Chumash actually happened and it's factually correct is not a terrible shevach on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't say very much. The opposite of Chas V'Shalom would be a terribly damning statement. But to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is accurate, yes, you know, so people miss out. Sometimes they tell the story, and it's like 99% true, but you miss the small detail about the color person's shirt. So that's a difference. It's hard to say that that's what exactly the nemanus of Torah is. Also, I mean, why is nemanus of Torah something that is special for Machkimas Pesi? Even the brightest and wisest and smartest thinker, if the data he has is corrupt, it's not true, then no amount of smartness and wisdom is going to help him much. It doesn't do the fool any greater good than it does the wise person. If both of them, if they're given, if the input is corrupt, then the output's going to be corrupt. So why is Hashem Elohim's Pesi? So I think the pshat's like this, and it goes very much to the heart of the yichud of Torah. It says by Moshe Rabbeinu that when Aaron and Miriam came to complain about him, and you know how come. He's probably some sitkis, he cast his wife aside when everybody else of us were all one for tzaddikim, and how come, and so on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuked them. So he says like this. He says, Im yeh b'nevi'achem Hashem b'marei lo v'svada b'chaloy madaba boy. I talk to him in a dream or in a vision. Loi kein avdi Moshe b'chol beisi ne'amonu. Moshe is faithful my entire house. Pe'al pe'al daba boy marav lo v'chidus. So that piece over here, the Pashto Pshat in the whole Beis Yinamon is, he can be there all the time. So therefore, he doesn't have time to go home. He's always on duty, so to speak. Okay. But then the other half of it, so it says that it's B'marav lo b'chidos, it goes to list all the differences between the different nevuas. Mine is the other one. I should say, yes, Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah is above your darug and so forth, but that's not really flowing with the whole basic ne'amon hu. That's something that is kind of it's two separate yanim. First of all, he's on call 24/7, so he can't go home. And secondly, he's got very, very high nevuah and so on. So the pshat's like this. The Chazal described the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah and other Nevi'im's nevuah as a difference in aspakaya meir, aspakaya sheni meir. What it means to us in Tachlis is that while the message is generally faithful, Nevi'im or Nevi'ah emes, but just because a human being is made of chaymer, there's a corruption along the lines. Just like no matter how perfect a person's glasses are or lenses are on his glasses, he will always, the picture he sees is never accurate because I'm seeing it through lenses. So there's a drop of chromatic aberration. There's a drop of some sort of angle aberration. There's going to have to be some sort of distortion, simply because every medium is adding some of itself to it. That's why, you know, when they want to have fancy laboratories and observations, they should send them up into space, because you don't have all the different elements that could possibly affect the accuracy of what it is that you see. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mashpia of Alikus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashpia Mimeroimim Emes. And when it comes to us, the medium through which it went had some effect on it, ought to have had some effect on it, meaning that it's not faithful to source. It's not exactly what was given. Just like anytime somebody comes and holds you over what somebody else says, is thinking, and so on, even if you trust him fully that he's not doing something consciously, but you still assume that there's a little bit of a distortion in the person's, his usage of words, his understanding. You forget about the words, his understanding of what the other person is. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that there is someone who, in a Navi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in a dream or in a mara, means a distorted form. A Navi sees a mara, which contains in itself elements of Alikus, Emes, etc., etc., etc. Moshe Rabbeinu is somebody who is, it's Pe'al Pe'al Dababoy. It's the difference between whether I speak to you directly or I speak to you through a medium. The Mara, the Chalom are mediums. And any time communication transitions through a medium, it's going to not be the same. It's not going to be faithful to source. sometimes by a hair's width, and sometimes by quite a lot more. Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one that has a keshu with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that can be described as Ne'eman, and therefore he's not. It's not going to get distorted. That's why, since what produces the Ne'emanus is the lack of Chumrius, it's the Chumri. The Rambam, when he speaks about it in Shemona Prokrim and Amon Avuchim, that the big barrier between a person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is his Chomer, his physicality, and everything that has that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says passes through that barrier of Chomri, and it affects it. So Moshe Rabbeinu, since his chelik of Torah was to be Ne'eman, he could not be in a position where he would be affected at all. And therefore, he had to be without chelik. That's the answer, that's so to speak, to the whole basic Ne'eman over there. Well, let's go back to Torah itself. When a person... So until now, when speaking of Moshe Rabbeinu, we're speaking about a messenger that I gave it through. What about myself when I have something that I communicate to someone else? What my intent and versus the words that I use and choose might... there is a gap. Most people, when it comes to very, very critical issues, feel either that they are misunderstood or not exactly, and we have a hard time framing something in words that give our exact meaning. And so there is a distortion, even the person, from when what I want and think gets transmitted over through Dipurim, it loses some of it. Torah was very different. The reason why there's an old saying that translations are like women. They're either faithful or beautiful, but never the two together. One could have said, Torah could have been something which HaKadosh Baruch was given over his intent and meaning, but the words used, the terms used, are approximations. And therefore, you can't darshan the words and so on and so forth. You can only relate to the content and say, well, you know, this is, it sort of means this, but there's no real point in darshaning the words backwards and forwards, upside down for a Muslim, because the words were just a means to convey an idea. And these words were thought to be most powerful to convey. It's like the difference between somebody writing poetry or a legal contract. When you write a legal contract, you want the precision of the words. Well, sometimes you want the imprecision of the words in either case, but there's a deal in either case to have the words in a certain way. They don't go far at expressing the feelings and the tochen. A contract is not meant to do that, really. It's meant to set up words that can be later used as a basis for handling. On the other hand, when someone writes poetry, it's all about the content, really. It's the feelings that get evoked by those words, and the words are just there as a means to sort of strum your heart and feelings to get exactly the feeling the person wants to bring out. So, Torah itself, it has in itself the quality that is Eidos Hashem. Torah is called Eidos also, and therefore it's Ne'emenes. In other words, if a person takes Torah, no matter which one of the Ayin Panim of Torah he uses, no matter whether it's Pshat, the Remez, or Drush, or Soid, it still reads perfectly. And therefore you can darshan a pasuk mitzad diktuk, you could write a sefer on a pasuk, mitzad, the etymology of the word and where it comes from, and you know, so long as you're holding the line, it's right, it is Torah. You can have pull him in halacha of on parshas in Brachos, and they will fascinatingly come out well. You can look into moral lessons. You can investigate the history. You can look into the Kabbalah, into the deepest dilemmas, as you reflect in the Psukim, and as merumas in some sort of way, and it's all emes. None of it says to each other, because it is faithful to the message it's trying to convey. When we're talking about Zoha Nekeva, the way the Pasuk says, the Pasuk compares Geshem to, or the other way around, Devar Hashem coming down into this world to Geshem coming down. And the Pasuk says, just like the Geshem, this does not come back Reikom, but it's a Hirvas, Adama, and so on and so forth, so too the Devar Hashem doesn't come back Reikom. In other words, the amira of the words is the hashpa, and the shmiya is the kabbalah. And the faithfulness of it is that as it strikes the person listening, it is faithful to the shorish, unless the person chooses to deliberately distort it. That's a pshat in the pasuk, Eidos Hashem is the menes mafkimas pesi. Pesi, it says, is yamin mechol davar. A Pesi's problem is he believes everything. He doesn't have critical ability to take what's said and to separate out the idea, the fact, versus the cloak, versus the medium, what's there in the medium, and what's there... and what is there just set to sort of polish it up, and so on and so forth. And the inaccuracies, a pesi yamur chodava means a pesi does not have critical faculties. He's not, he can't take it apart, he swallows it whole. So in most any type of teaching that's going to be very counterproductive. If somebody goes around and takes everything literally at its face value, and people who tend to be autistic, in other words, people who have a personality tendency towards the autistic spectrum, usually have that where they tend to take things at face value and are kind of shocked and surprised that something may have been said in jest, something may have been said as a lie. Something doesn't quite mean what it says it means. And there's sort of there's something behind the words, a sense behind the words. So most chachmas in the world, a person who is not a chacham, who's a pesi, in this particular, in other words, specifically the word pesi is the one that's important. If a person is a pesi, he will, with everything good that he'll pick up, he will also pick up a lot of trash. So it's counterproductive. In Eidos Hashem is Nemona, because the words are faithful to the content in terms of its accuracy, in terms of Zechus Brock's intent, every single word and letter is emes, so the pesi also is able to learn from it. So that because Eidos Hashem is nemana, because every part of it is faithful, it is 100% faithful to the shorash, which is something that we have a very hard time. That's why it's not kimas pesi. This is probably also one of the hasverim in Roya Masakolis, where it says in Chazal, they saw the Koilus, and in one place it says, in the book it says, they heard the sights, something which is impossible, so on and so forth. It means one of the possibilities of what it means is as follows. Writing and speaking tend to have two different functions. Writing is very precise. It's sort of exact the way it says it, but it's hard to catch the intent and the meaning of it. Speech, explanation by speech, is better at getting you to the meaning of it. A lot of times you'll read a contract, you'll read a statement by someone, read this, and you say to yourself, what exactly does he mean with it? I know what the words mean, but what's the point he wants to get across? Like what's the you know, micro mashmala? And we have a hard time if we don't hear it al peh. So when Torah was given, there's also Perush Ksav and Perush al peh. When Torah was given, the Ksav and the al peh came together. In that initial moment when the Anochi, the Ruach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it all came together. Then it needed to have, then it took on the forms, two separate forms of, let's call Ksav Baal Peh, but Al-Kupanim, that was the Chiddush of having the Rias as Sekolos and the Shmias at Samaris and so on. The Malbim says that the whole Beisi Neman on Moshe Rabbeinu is, he was able to take that which was inside and bring it to the outside faithfully. In other words, he conveyed the content and the tochen of Torah faithfully to the outside. He's the only one that was Neman. Everyone else, it took on some distortions. Moshe Rabbeinu, everything he said was Neman. One of the things that when Matan Torah accomplished, the question is, I guess, what did Matan Torah do more than already had been Nisgale to Avram, to Yitzhak, to Noah, to Lot, to some degree? All the nevuahs that people had and different things that Kadosh Baruch Hu told them to do, the Rambam makes a cheshbon, there was a whole series of mitzvahs, quite a few mitzvahs that were already mitzvah beforehand. So what does Matan Torah accomplish? The answer is, it's a whole different world. Matan Torah is not there for the collection of mitzvah shabbat. Matan Torah is the giving of the Torah, which means the words, we got a set of words that mean what they say and say what they mean, as opposed to beforehand, where you got the idea of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants about Gid Anasha, so that's what you got. You couldn't sit and darshan the Divrei HaNevuah the way you darshan Torah. You couldn't sit and darshan and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this, but he didn't say this, and this is a ribui, this is a mir. That doesn't exist in the level of Nevuah, because the words don't carry that precision. It's just like if you look at the Gemara, Gemara's language is not precise at all. We struggle to understand exactly what it means. And a lot of times the Gemara will answer a Mishnah. It says, let's take a good contrast. The Gemara says that anyone who learns Mishnayos is mevale olam. He's someone who it's destructive. And it says, it means without Gemara, it means today that we have Rav and Tezis Yontif, it's assumed that the Rav takes the place of Gemara. The Mishnayos have meanings locked up inside them that are emes, but the words are not the ones that truly convey it. The words themselves sometimes are the opposite of what it means. And it's only by using logic and reducing back and forth, that we actually figure out what it really means. Torah itself, the Torah that was given to Sinai, has in itself the ultimate kesher between the Teichen And the expression, it means that we never, especially Torah as opposed to Nevi'im. Nevi'im, some Nevuas, you must learn as a metaphor. There are no horses with stripes up there, with red stripes and white stripes. But Torah, you're not allowed to learn as a metaphor. It's true kipshutai. And it's true.
A quick question.
Sure.
The classic Ein Tachas Ein.
Yes. So they Reb Chaim says it, and many others. Ayin tachas ayin means, the Torah says, it's an eye for an eye that is the punishment. The only way that we can execute it l'maisa is by paying for it. It's very different. You're not paying for damages. The Reb Chaim Brisker actually gives it a lot of halachic twists. That it's a get of a knas rather than the halacha than the zikin. It's ayin tachas ayin is the reason the Torah said it, because it is precise. You're paying with an eye for an eye, but the only eye that we could ever extract from somebody is a financial eye, because like the Rambam says, all the rights and so on and so forth. There's a reason why it's just like that. So learning the Torah itself is significant. It's very interesting. People ask a lot of times, especially those who learn the Sonia Torah, and you actually get to see occasionally Ibn Ezra and other Rishonim Rashbams. There are Rishonim, not only Ibn Ezra and Rashbam, but the Radak and others in different places, who actually will learn up Sukkim, not like Torah Shabbat Peh. And it's kind of surprising. How does that work? And the answer is, Torah has a level of pshat as well. Torah, you know, the pshat has an emes to itself. Like the ayin tachas ayin. There's an emes in ayin tachas ayin, meaning an eye for an eye. The halacha lemaisa is moments. I think I once overheard a conversation with two people in yeshiva, two young life. One of them said, that he heard from a big Mekobel that everything that the Brisker Rav was Mechadish and Chumash is Oiskal with Arizal. Matches Arizal. I don't know what the context of that was, but that's. So the other person said, wow, I didn't know the Brisker Rav is so big or something like that, or it shows you the godliness of the Brisker Rav. To which my friend replied, no. It shows you the godliness of Torah. In other words, the Brisker Rav was not using Kisra Rizal to say Pshat. He was using the halachic facet of Torah, he was using that approach, and so on. But Torah's layers are all so well aligned that if you stick a pin straight, it will hit the same point. Imagine you have 1,000 grids perfectly aligned. So if you take a pin and stick it through the zero, point, the zero, zero point, it will hit every zero, zero point, provided the pin is straight. So there are weaker Torah is true only on level A or level B, but deeper Torah, Torah that's Yasher, like the Brisker Rav's, is true across the board. That's the godliness of Torah, that all the facets of Torah are perfectly aligned in its essence. What we do with it is secondary. So Kapanim, what we got in the world on Shavuos, the Matan Torah, was something that has an emunis in the ultimate Zohar Nekeva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Mashpia of Das Alekim. And the world as a Makabal and a Shemeah to that, that there should be an absolute faithfulness in the two, that's Miuchid in Torah. And that's the Eidus Hashem Ne'mona. The mile that is that even if the person doesn't have the ability to sift through things, if he's mekabel Torah of the Emes, then he becomes wise through it, because it all of it is Emes. No matter which angle he's coming from, as long as he's learning the Shema, as long as he's not trying to distort Torah, he will hit an Emes. Any questions?
Lapianski, it's not directly related, but I think it's tangentially related. You know, we always say that a Navi is called a Navi because the Navua is the, like, Nivsvosai, and the Ramban says.
Right.
So it's the fruit of his lips.
Right.
So this whole Mahalach of Mashpeh and Makabel, it means really that when the Medaber is Medaber, it's Ki'ilu he's Mazria through the Shmir of the Makabel, and then the Makabel is Maiti the Paris.
Correct. Well, in a certain sense, you don't need... it's a pasuk kemat. It's the pasuk that we lay on a tainus in the kikasha yered ageshem vashelik min hashemayim mishomu lo yoshev kim kirvas haaretz volida vitzmicha v'nosan zera v'zera lech morchum ken yedvori asha yeitim mipi lo yoshev v'veikom kim osa shachafatz yitzir shachlati. He's talking about the Dvar Hashem that comes from the Nevi'im. So that is correct. That's what exactly the pasuk in Yeshaya is describing.
So it's quite interesting because it comes out that a conversation between two people, when there's a Makabel and when there's a Medaber and a Shomei, who's really a Shomei, and a Medaber is really a Medaber, it's really quite an intimate connection.
Correct. That is very true. The Burim are Mekasha people, and that's why, you know, the primary activity with which we court is with our mouths. Yes?
Mm. Thank you.
Okay, so Shabbos.
Just one more question. The Maharal, he would often in Guru Arya, he seems to very strongly against this idea of, you could say, a pshat different to Chazal.
Well, he feels that we would find it within Chazal. I think what he takes issue with is, you know, pushing aside Chazal. When Chazal spoke about something and you just don't understand it enough, that's why you don't like it, that's when he has his issues. If Chazal didn't speak, he doesn't... I think it's more that he feels that people don't know how to learn of the Chazal, and that's why they're running off to other things. But
I mean, he speaks even Gedoyle HaRishonim. He's
speaks on the Rashi. Correct, but it's in a place where Chazal said one thing and they decided something else makes more sense. Correct. Listen, Eluv Eluv, there's been, Devin Hezron and Rabban have it out all the time. But there's a whole genre of Rishonim that this was considered. And we kept it that way. You know, it's not, nobody knocked Devin Hezron off the page on the Chumash yet. So it's, okay.
Okay, so quach. Chag
Kosh
Basamech.
Go to the